Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. As promised, we're going to start airing our episodes that we recorded from CryptidCon. I'm here with Ma.
Hi.
Yeah, she's here.
I'm awake now. Most time I'm not.
We were planning on recording a To and From CryptidCon episode and airing it, so we'll have to see how that turned out. So you probably heard that one already. There's a whole bunch of...
Got people passing by.
Well, that was just Buck from Mountain Monsters, so... I was gonna wave at him. But anyway, we're here live at CryptidCon right now, and we're recording some pretty good interviews with some customers and other people. And for the next couple weeks, we're gonna air those. And how's CryptidCon doing for you so far?
Good, fast, tiring.
Yeah, we sold out of a lot of things already. We opened up to the public, general public, at 10 a.m. and VIPs at 9 a.m. this morning. I think by 12 o'clock we were already sold out of some of our merchandise that we had brought. And that's kind of cool. I mean, it's a fabulous event down here.
We're resetting up.
Yeah, we have to redo the entire booth because we still have these little stuffed Yetis. They have a little... Come here, little Yeti. Here, say hello to everybody. There you go. That's little Yeti. He's very happy to be here. He has a squeaker in him. And he had about, 20 friends.
Yeah, there's eight of them left.
Yeah, they don't like to sit on the table. They like to jump off the table all the time. And they've been causing a lot of mayhem here at CryptidCon. And I believe you have to look forward to a visit from the Hodag as well.
Oh, yes.
And the Hodag Busters. Hunters. Hunters.
They
were here as well.
They chased them right out of here.
Yep. But so you have that to look forward to up on an upcoming podcast. And I don't want to give too much away. But we're going to get started here.
We don't
know
if they caught him.
Yeah. He ain't in here anymore. So we will get right into it with our first guest. All right. Our next guest is here. Introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Shane, and we're with Dayton Paranormal and Cryptid Society. And what we do is we build some paranormal equipment boxes and stuff, and just been kind of getting into that lately. And, yeah, having a good time.
Awesome. All right. I'm excited. I remember you came over and talked to me earlier, and I couldn't remember who you were, but yeah, that's right. So you build paranormal equipment. So where are you out of? Dayton?
Dayton, yeah. We're just a little west of Dayton, yeah.
What state is that?
Dayton, Ohio. I'm sorry.
It's all right. So you're out of Dayton, Ohio.
Yep.
And do you do paranormal investigating as well?
Yeah, we do, yep. Okay. And Bigfoot expeditions and all kinds of good stuff.
So, so you
we
do everything.
Do it all. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Yep. So let's start at this. How did you get started in all that?
Years ago, we were down in southern Ohio and got screamed at. We were kind of at this old dilapidated house and ghost hunting, and then we started hiking up this mountain right off the river, and we got screamed at by this Bigfoot. I mean, it was just, it went through your body, you know, and we didn't really know anything about Bigfoot at the time. My buddies I was with look at each other, we're like, Banshee, oh my gosh, that's crazy, you know? And it wasn't until a couple years later, we were watching a Bigfoot show and we hear the exact same scream. We're like, oh, that's what it was. It was a Bigfoot screaming at us. So that kind of got us into the both worlds, you know? We've had a lot of paranormal activity growing up, so it just kind of all hits home. So why not, you know?
So whereabouts was the scream that you heard?
Over by Shawnee State Park. Kind of southeast Ohio over there, right off the river it was. So, and then we went back a couple years later to the actual state park. The scream happened on private property, which backs onto the state park. And we found some Bigfoot prints, really beautiful ones, actually. And just getting started, I didn't have any casting powder, nothing like that with me, so... And lost the pictures and everything, of course. So that was just kind of more validation. Like, yeah, that's something in the area for sure. Because that was really close to where we had that scream, you know. And so and then we go ghost hunting all the time, too. A lot of local, but we'll travel sometimes, too. Yeah, and even residential, we just got done with this lady's house, and it was just absolutely insane, her activity that she was having. And she was just, she thought it was somebody breaking into her house all the time, and she didn't see them, and it ended up being paranormal activity. That was just outrageous. And it was affecting her whole family. And so we kind of helped her out a little bit. We brought a pastor along with us, and he kind of blessed the house and everything. And everything's calmed down a little bit for her, so that was good. And actually, it got to the point where she was so frustrated with us, she found us and everything. And we went there, and we brought some of the paranormal equipment, and everything was just going off constantly. Crazy. We thought everything was broke because it was just, everything was so wild. And we couldn't get no base readings because just everything, EMF detectors were constantly spiked the whole time. And our motion detectors were going off constantly the whole time. It was just outrageous. And we got some really good video of it too. I mean, just black apparitions walking through her living room and doors opening and slamming shut so hard, like you thought it'd break the frame. Yeah, and so I felt terrible for her. And yeah. She ended up actually moving out of that house just a couple months ago. So, yeah.
Hopefully the new owners are ready for it. You know, I mean, I don't know. What, that was in Ohio too? Or?
Yeah, that was West Milton, Ohio. So it was just a little north of Dayton there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's insane. So do you put the evidence out there? Do you have a YouTube channel or anything?
No, we don't have. Well, we do have a channel. I just don't have much on it. We're just kind of more getting started on the social media and everything, you know. So we haven't got too much of our stuff out there. We got a group and a page, and I put some stuff out there, but not all of our stuff yet. So a lot of it I still have to edit, and we just went ghost hunting 2 weeks ago, and I edited it really nice. I got a bunch of EVPs and everything, and I started editing it all down and made a nice clip of all our EVPs and all that, and it's just, then my computer crashed. I was so upset. I mean, I spent hours, like, you know, working on this stuff and making it nice, and it just, everything got lost.
That's unfortunately the nature of the beast, right? With everything, it's like it knows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had it all backed up, but not my edited version, you know, so I still got everything there, but just not all the work I put into it, you know what I mean?
You know what they tell you, save. Every time you make like 5 minutes of progress into it, you save it.
Right.
I mean, for our episodes and stuff, I edit probably 4 hours for 10 minutes worth of stuff.
Right.
And I save every 5 minutes or so worth of video, so because that happens.
Right. Yeah, it's very upsetting when it does.
Absolutely.
A lot of hard work.
Luckily, mine has like an autosave. Mm-hmm. So even if I don't back it up, it saves a little bit of that progress after it. So
right.
I get lucky a lot of time, but I've had that happen. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. So what is your YouTube, if you don't, you know, if you want it out there?
It's Dayton Paranormal Encrypted Society is our YouTube channel.
Okay.
And then same with our Facebook is Dayton Paranormal Encrypted Society, or DPACS. I think you can find it under DPACS too, like the abbreviation. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you guys go out and, like you said, like help people if they're in the area?
Yeah,
like
definitely
that?
If they contact us. We've had a couple other people contact us about some cryptids a little north of Dayton too, in Huber Heights. And so we're going to go check that out pretty soon. It's just been shadow creatures they seen coming out behind trees and stuff like that, and running, darting across the road and in these people's yards and stuff, and nothing like malicious, you know. They're not scared or nothing of it or anything, you know. They actually they don't provoke it or anything, but they just kind of see it as almost a friend, you know. So it's nothing bad, but they just got a hold of us a couple weeks ago, so we plan on checking that out. See, they even said there might be some tracks and stuff that we could probably see, and so I got all my casting stuff ready to go check all that out. So see what we find.
So do you think, based on the evidence or the stuff that they've told you, do you think it's more creature related, or do you think it's more paranormal?
Right. So that is the thing, because they're talking about, you know, a lot of shadows, but then they seen this hairy creature on all fours running across the road with red eyes. So, you know, I don't know. I need to get some more information from this lady before I could really, you know, make a decision on what we think it might be, you know. So I haven't talked to her too much yet. Just kind of got a rough area and everything, but we're going to go talk to her in person a little bit better here soon.
Sounds good. Yeah, mm-hmm. Keep me informed on that. I'd love to know.
Yeah,
I'd love the reason I was asking is because, you know, like for the paranormal and stuff, you know, it's always nice to have, like we go to all these conventions and stuff and people come up to me and say, you know, oh, my house is haunted. Can you look into it? I'm in Kentucky. This is 8.5 hours away for me to come down and help them. So I love to find local groups and stuff that I can point people to. So if you're out there that, you know, willing to go out and check it out. So anybody that's in the Ohio, Dayton area, where do you guys go?
Oh, anywhere, probably, you know, our radius is, you know, pretty adequate for us. You know, we could make it easily, you know, within a couple of days to that area, you know, anywhere from... let's say the edge of Indiana, kind of Richmond area, Indiana, you know, out to, Lebanon, you know, Ohio, you know, all around, you know, so, yeah. Yeah, we don't mind traveling a little bit.
So. Awesome. So if you're in the area, you need some help, message out to them. You got, like, contact information on your website and Facebook and stuff?
Yeah, yep. Facebook, you find us on there. Right here is facebook.com/ Dayton Paranormal. Is if you just search that on the Facebook, that would be our page right there. And then our email and messages, everything will be, we can find us there. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So we were talking earlier, you are starting to produce and sell equipment as well, correct?
That's true. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get into that. What obviously this is why you got into it, because you're an investigator in that.
Yeah.
So did you find that there was a need for it, certain things, or?
Yeah, I just got a lot of ideas in my head. It's like when I'd start Googling and looking up paranormal equipment, and I just don't find the ideas that somebody's already made, you know what I mean? So it's like, well, I got these ideas. I want to put them out there. And then my wife keeps bugging me about the music boxes, you know, the paranormal music boxes. And they're, you know, for the good ones, $400. That's a lot of money for someone like us, you know. I mean, we're not broke, but we're not rich enough to throw that kind of money out just for, you know, some paranormal investigations. So that was, like, really what got me into it. Well, I'm just going to make one. So I made a couple of them, and then it just kind of keeps going on and on. And then I even brought a couple with me. I got my Ecto, Ecto motion detector. Okay. And it uses a Doppler effect. So, and it could detect, it's very super sensitive, and it's got a little dial in it, and to up and down the sensitivity on it. And so it doesn't use like your basic motion detection. It uses, it can detect anything like at all. Like if you threw a pencil in front of it, you know, it would detect pretty much. So, and, so it's super sensitive, and I just never found anything like that, so I call it my Ecto 2 motion box. So then we got the Ecto 1, and it uses the more conventional motion detection, and that's a little bit cheaper, and all my stuff. I'm not in it to really make money either, you know, so I make enough money to buy the products to make another box pretty much, you know, or two. So just get my stuff out there. Some people can use, and it should last forever. I mean, the Ecto 2 box, the stuff in it is like rated for 10,000 hours of use. So I mean,
that's like a week for our team.
Right. I mean, so it should last, you know, quite a bit of time. And I do 90-day guarantee warranty on them, so and everything. But yeah, just cheap. Like, my most expensive thing is my ghost sonar, and $100, so, because it's a little bit more high-tech and just got a lot going on to it. It detects distance and everything, and when something comes within so close to it, it'll read it, and it'll turn on a light when something's in with about 2 or 3 feet of it. And then it detects temperature, too, so, you know, because temperature spikes up, down, you know, could be a good sign, you know, so if something's coming close to you, your temperature starts dropping, and there's nothing there, then, you know, you kind of think something's happening here, which we've had really good luck with all this stuff. We go to the Post Town Elementary quite often because it's right down the street from us, and a very active elementary school that's, you know, and that's like where we do a lot of our testing of our products to see, you know, if something, if it's actually going to work. And man, it's just, the stuff will go crazy. So, you know, we'll have dead times too, you know, where nothing happens, but a lot of times my equipment will pick up quite a bit of activity. So it's pretty neat. Yeah.
Very cool. So are those the only three you got? You said something about a music box too.
Yeah, right? I got music. I just brought the two with me, the sonar. It's got a digital readout. It reads out the distance and temperature and everything. And then the Ecto 2 just has a light that comes on when it detects motion. And then I got a knock box. It's really simple. Just anything that touches it at all, a light comes on. So I call it a knock box. And then I got a couple more things. And then a lot of stuff in the works, too, like a hypersensitive EMF detector. Let's see what else I've been working on. Tesla coil, spear box, which I thought, I mean, that's just going radiating energy like crazy. So, and then hopefully, I'm still in development stages with that. So, but I'm pretty excited about, you know, a Tesla coil that radiating all that energy with attached to a spear box. And so, I mean, come on. I mean, how could that not be awesome? Even just a...
it blows up the building. How could that not be awesome?
Just a Tesla coil in general is something pretty cool, you know. And so, yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on. And I'll do custom work, too, some custom stuff. And I know we were talking about your thermal imaging trail cam that you want. Yeah.
Anybody listening, if you make one of those, you give me an email.
Right. So, yeah, I'm probably going to start working on that. And I got a couple other custom mortars I've been working on, too. So a lot of people wanted the dolls and stuff to do EMF detecting and stuff like that. So, yeah.
I saw a new product out last night, and it's already out. It's on Facebook. It's like really detailed dogs and cats, stuffed animals.
Yeah? Uh-huh.
And they're like vibration sensitive. So when you pet them, it makes them, you know, light up and stuff. And I thought, that's really neat.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody's doing the teddy bears and stuff, but these are, you know, animal trigger objects. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that is a good idea. Yeah. That's kind of like what my knock box does. I mean, it's triggered by anything, just barely touch. I mean, you could blow on it. It's that sensitive. So, and it'll set it off. So
that's really cool.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it, I guess.
So where can people find, so you sell the stuff online?
Yeah. You'd have to message me right now. I'm still kind of setting all that stuff up here pretty soon. I'm probably going to have it on Amazon, actually. It's kind of what I'm going for. Yeah. Doing that pretty soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I'll go to these conventions sometimes and set up a booth. We've done a couple booths or you can go onto our Facebook page and message me through there, and we can get you sent out right away. So
awesome! And again, where's your Facebook?
Facebook.com Dayton Paranormal. Yep, cool. Dayton Paranormal, or if you just search Dayton Paranormal Encrypted Society, you'll find us.
Awesome. Yep. I will get those links in the show notes for anybody that's able to click. Otherwise, I always like tell my guests, you know, make sure you say it, because otherwise people listening, they might not, you know, type it or write it or whatever.
So, yeah, all right. Well, I appreciate you very much.
Definitely. Thank you very much. Okay. And I look forward to getting some of your cool stuff.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Whispers from the Dark will be right back after this quick message from our sponsors.
If you're a fan of the paranormal world, then you'll love WLTK-DB Talk Radio. Talk shows bringing you the latest on everything paranormal, cryptozoological, metaphysical, true crime, psychic readings, and more. The truth is here and now on WLTK-DB Talk Radio at WLTKDB.com.
Winter is just around the corner, and it will be here before you know it. Are you or someone you know sick of dealing with snow? Are you paying an outrageous amount for snow removal every time it snows? Look no further than Eric's Winter Services for all your snow removal and snow hauling needs. That's not all. They also do lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming. To get an estimate, contact Eric at 920-255-8592 or email Eric's Winter Services ericswinterservices@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook at Eric's Winter Services. Serving Wisconsin's Fox Valley area. Eric's Winter Services. Snow flurries, no worries.
I will let you go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm Steve Barcello from the Cryptozoology Paranormal Museum in Littleton, North Carolina. And I'm just down here at the Crypticon, kind of networking and working the floors and promoting the museum in the town of Littleton, and plus shooting some YouTube for our channel so we can get some video up. And this way folks that couldn't make it can precariously live through us as we travel around and go out and see things and do interviews.
Awesome. Very cool. So do you run the museum, or are you on the board, or how does that work?
I pretty much am the museum. I have a couple of employees, and I do have some really good folks that actually work with us. Some gentlemen actually go out and do the research with us. We actually go out and do research for as far as, you know, spook lights, of course, the Bigfoot sightings in the area, paranormal, UFO, I mean, across the board. Most of the guys in our team are retired cops and military. Some of the guys are younger and still working, so we need a few young people who can get up there and get the game cameras up in the trees and stuff. But we go out there, we actually take the public out on tours to do Bigfooting, and we do paranormal stuff. Right now, because we moved to a new building, and because of COVID, of course, things have changed. We're getting access back into some of the locations, but we've been doing basically having people ghost hunt at the museum, which is an old building which has some crazy history to it. And the last group that came through, which was about a week ago, got some amazing stuff. We have a rocking chair that supposedly rocks, and we actually caught that rocking on camera. They had their SLS cameras and a bunch of other equipment, but we got amazing stuff. It was a really hot night, so I was thrilled.
Wow, that's really cool. I don't think I know of any other museums that have, like, on-site investigating like that.
Yeah, we're just trying to do something different. We couldn't get... One of the locations we used to go to is called the Dollhouse. It's this old farmhouse up the road. This woman, Rebe Reed, actually used to sell dolls out of it years ago. And I've lived in the town for 10 years. It's been closed since I've been there. But she told me about dolls talking to her. She'd go in, and one doll said, "Mama, I'm hungry. Applesauce, please." Scared her so bad, she wet herself and told me about it. So we went in and did an investigation, got some crazy stuff, and then went back to her. And the names we got made sense. So that was my son who died in 87. That'd be my uncle. So it actually all, and I didn't know her background. So we talked to her about opening it to the public, and she was kind of leery. But once we did it, whatever we brought in, she got half. And on top of that, the dolls are selling, which are kind of scaring us. We're going to have the dollest dollhouse after a while. But people loved it. I mean, it was a creepy place. We'd walk in there. We get things to move and things to happen. It's like it's ghost hunting. Some nights were slow, and some nights it was like a three-ring circus. So we're hoping to get back in there at some point, too. Right now, but coming out of COVID, as everyone's knowing in the business world, it's hard to get people to work. I used to have interns, people begging to come work for free, basically. And now it's like in the summer I can get a few, but otherwise it's been kind of rough. So, but we, like I said, we moved from a 250 square foot facility in front of an old historic house to this new building. And we've been there. Actually, I got the keys just before last year's Crypticon. And then we got some money in, and we actually were able to, you know, start working on the place. As soon as we walked in, we realized the toilets didn't work. Had to replace that we had wiring issues. We still got a leak in the roof in the back, which we thought was temporarily fixed, and that's come back. So when you deal with an old building, it's the growing pains. So we're renting it now with the option to buy, so we will buy it. We just got a new mini split in this massive unit that will give us air conditioning and heat and stuff. We do have some heat right now, but this will give us more. So it's, you know, a work in progress, but, you know, it's been a great draw for the town. We get people in from all over. We've been lucky enough to be on Travel Channel, MTV, NPR, PBS just came through, did a piece on us right after COVID. All the local stations have done stuff. We've been very gifted as far as the way the media's come through. So
yeah, I until you came up today, I hadn't actually heard of it. So, but I've never been to North Carolina, right. And I've never been to South Carolina yet. So
yeah, we're still promoting. I mean, we were really moving along. We were chugging. We had a lot of irons in the fire, and COVID just shut everyone down. Yeah. I mean, even when I was up in Gettysburg, I did a lot of that's how the YouTube channel really started to go, because I had nothing else to do but travel. So I would go out there with my mask. I'd show, like, you know, I got my mask. I got my Dinty Moore stew. I'm being safe. You know, got my hand sanitizer. And I'd go to hotels where a murder took place or a murder-suicide. And I would, you know, tell the story. And if the internet was good enough, I could go live. And people loved it. because they could actually, you know, precariously ghost hunt with us from home. And it was a little bit of lag time, but ask us, you know, ask questions that I could ask for them and stuff. And it became a, you know, popular thing, and our numbers were way up. We were lucky enough to get monetized. And so it was another revenue stream to help keep the museum afloat, too. And but, you know, things have changed now. I mean, people are back to work, and now we've got the new building. So, and I was elected official in town. I was a commissioner and a mayor pro tem. That was 5 years. So I just resigned from that last month, stepped down, so I can concentrate more on the business now since things are coming back to life and do things like this, travel, which I couldn't do before.
Yeah. Cool. So what got you into all this?
In my past, I've done a lot of crazy, but I was a journalist for the New York Daily News for a while, and I've always had an interest in the paranormal. Love the cryptic stuff, but I'm from Long Island, New York. There's, you know, no Bigfoots there. We're happy to see squirrels, you know? So basically, I did a couple of pieces. I was actually at a Christmas party in Manhattan, and one of the guys came up to me. I was up at the bar, says, I was just telling the boss how that you're into this, the paranormal. Hey, what's up? And basically, I said, why would you tell her that? You kill my credibility. Thank you. And, so pretty funny. So I over talked to Gretchen, was my boss at the time. She was English, and she was into the paranormal. So we start talking about it, and it's like, and she goes, "You never told me this." I go, "Why would I? Why would you bring this up to your boss?" "Oh, by the way, I'm crazy. I'm into this, you know." So anyway, she says, "Why don't we do something with this?" And I said, "You wait a second. You're gonna pay me to go out there?" So we sat down a couple months later, worked out some budgets and stuff. And the first one I did, it was supposed to be a Jersey Devil documentary. And it just went to hell in a handbag. It was a whole crazy story there. I won't even go into that. It's long. Got called in to go chase Lindsay Lohan because she was on Long Island. It was stuff when that was still popular.
But anyway. She cryptid too, or?
Pretty much. And but it was kind of funny. They thought she was on the island. She was in Manhattan. So I was able to reach out to her dad, Michael, and all. I mean, it's just the contacts you had back then. But I ended up having to cut it short, which really stunk. But the worst part is the gentleman I need, the main interview wasn't available, one of the gentlemen from the Leeds family. So anyway, the little bit of time I spent down there filming, I got all this great paranormal stuff. So I went back to the boss. I said, you know, she apologized that I got pulled out. And she said, can I go back? I'd like to repitch that as a paranormal piece. She goes, carte blanche, whatever you need. So we reset it up, went down there. So we ended up doing this piece, which is online. It's Speaking to Ghosts in Smithville. And that ended up being on the Daily News. You know, it was to be like a featured story in the paper with a link and some photos and bringing you to their video page, which was on YouTube, too. And so basically that was number one on the Daily News webpage for 4 days straight. So manager came back to me and said, what else do you have? You know, so like, I'm going, this is great. This is working. You know, I can have my own little niche. I can get away from doing courts and some of the stuff I hated doing. And so I pitched Bigfoot in Whitehall, New York. And so they were going like, we would say no, but you seem to know what you're doing. So they let me go up and do that. And that was real popular. So little by little, whenever we had time, it was a lot of breaking stories. I could go out and pitch something fun and do it. But then the business was changing years later, and newspapers are just dying. New management came in. All my bosses eventually got removed, fired, or whatever. And I never got canned, but eventually they got down to my level. And they basically cut me from 7 days a week down to, like, using me 2, 3, 4, whatever was convenient for them, which you can't do. If you're out there, you need to be... You have to be connected. You have to be, in touch with the police and, you know, the celebrity stuff in the Hamptons, all that. Yeah, you have to spend your time. Otherwise, you're just not going to be able to chase your stories. So I knew the end was coming, so it was time to say, screw this. And off to North Carolina went. Well, I was looking all over. I looked at multiple states, but end up settling in Littleton, North Carolina, end up with a haunted house, which I wasn't planning on doing. And my wife's not into this. They got this big old house for next to nothing. And then after kind of taking advantage of that and, you know, doing some ghost walks and stuff in the town, doing some touristy things, then the Bigfoot sightings came in, which I thought was crazy, but I started interviewing people because that's my background. And we've had amazing, amazing stories. One of the ones that went on coast to coast. Actually, we've been on coast to coast 3 times in 1 year. So just stories that hit there. But one was very interesting. There's a gentleman, Jesse Walker. He was a retired school teacher, or is a retired school teacher. He was, this is 2 years ago, so he was 73 at the time, had a sighting in his backyard at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And he was horrified. I mean, it freaked him out. He ran to the car. His girlfriend was like, what's the matter? And she brings him to my house. I go outside, and there's Jesse crying in the front yard. So I bring him in and interview him, and he cries through the interview. So that got carried all over. And here's a guy in town, though, but everyone knew. They've had him as a school teacher. And they go, you know, Jesse's, you know, he's a character, but he won't lie. He's a church-going man. I mean, he says he saw something. He saw something. But we've had multiple sightings just on the road back there, Moore Street that he was on at the time. One of the original ones was Tiffany Merrill had a sighting January the 8th, 2016, 5 o'clock in the morning. She was on the phone with her mother discussing who was going to take her 5-year-old daughter Bella to kindergarten. And she hears this noise in the woods behind her house, and she's on the side, which is nothing, just dense woods behind her. Sees this large creature quickly moving through the woods behind her house. Her mom goes, "What is the matter?" Thinking it's an intruder, she explains what she's seen. Her mom says, "Call Steve around the corner. He knows about these things, you know." So she didn't know me from Adam. Her mom calls me, and I missed a phone call at that hour. Play phone tag with her. So the journalism comes out of me. I run over there to see her. Her daughter is walking back, pacing in the front yard, horrified. I interview her, and basically she tells me what she saw, and I went back out in the woods and reenacted it. I could find some broken branches, no hair. And the leaf litter was very deep, but I could see footfalls. We measured those out. And basically, I ran the story. A local newspaper came in. That brought in, CBS out of Raleigh. I don't remember exactly which one it was now. And that brought in, that's where Travel Channel came through and all that. And it just took off from there. She was so horrified, pulled her daughter out of school and moved away by week two. So, but it's so many stories. I mean, if it was just one, it'd be okay. It's a passing thing. Comes in all the time. Ebony Bird's another one that came by, had a sighting. It's, you know, actually, her sighting was right before Jesse Walker. So, and that's all in that same back road there. This is, you know, it's basically part of an entrance way for a hunting preserve. So it's, you know, kind of, you know, nobody really hunts there because it's too close to, you know, the town itself. But it's a road that goes into a much deeper woods there. And logging kind of is the trade out there. So. Yeah, it's crazy. It's not what I thought I'd be doing in a retirement, or semi-retirement, running a cryptozoology museum and out Bigfooting and stuff. But we're loving it, and it's helped flip a town around. We have a Bigfoot brewery coming in. We got a Littleton Food and Spirit in town, sells a Bigfoot burger now. Daphne's Coffee Shop has Bigfoot cookies periodically. We have a bistro came in, a wine shop. We just had a new school just open. Lakeland Theater has been renovated. We're going to be doing our events there. I mean, it's just, you know, the town's been, you know, all of a sudden tourism is a reason for people to come, you know, so. And then Bigfoot helped change the town of Littleton. That's pretty funny, so.
So what all do you have in your museum? Like, what can people expect?
If you come by the museum, like I said, it's a work in progress, but we still have a lot of stuff in there. When you first walk in, it's going to be all the cryptic stuff, the Bigfoot things, a lot of prints. We have TVs running, videos and interviews. And then, you know, as you walk into, on the other side will be the counter, we have some merchandise. As you go beyond that, that's where the paranormal stuff is. And the reason we have it set up that way, even we had the little location, we separated. We were in the Bible Belt, and some people, they love the Bigfoot stuff, but they're horrified by anything paranormal. So we try to separate that. And as we move into the other room in the back, because it's a big building, we're going to probably put more paranormal stuff in that room, too. And I'm going to hopefully expand the crypt again. We have a little bit of a UFO display. We got more of that. We're working on the back building some displays. And then we want to get more into just general things. Well, one of the things we're going to have to, we want to represent other museums like Mothman. We're doing a little piece on Mothman, talk about that. We have a little Hodag in the back. So just, you know, we're going to take up a large part of the museum, but talk about other cryptids, not just, we specialize on the ones in our area, but explain to people who aren't totally versed in this. And actually, I said, we're doing a tie-in with MetaZoo, too, which is perfect. So we're going to have a little area for MetaZoo. We've been with them from the Kickstarter right from the beginning. So, but and Mike from MetaZoo, Mike Waddell, has been incredibly good to the museum, really helpful. So we've been very lucky. Like I said, we've got a long way to go. I mean, we survived COVID, so now we just got to get over this speed bump of slow times through the winter here and just kind of float things. And hopefully we can get past this. I think we'll be fine. And then, you know, finish the murals on the building. But yeah, we have a lot of stuff in there. I mean, a lot of dolls. Oh my God. We have so much stuff sent to us. Shrunken heads, a stuffed monkey head that was given to us. It was a tribal piece this guy got, and he swore it was cursed and it gave him bad luck and he needed to get rid of it. So a lot of stories like that. One of the clowns that we have in there is up on a shelf, and if the clown itself won't move, but the reflection will. So people have got it almost daily. I mean, sometimes it goes a couple of days, no way, but other times and the eye will roll over and they can actually see the eye move, and sometimes it actually grimaces. Tends to do it more for women than men, but a lot of, you know, things like that people love. I mean, they come in, actually have a personal experience and, you know, actually have something happen. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, like everybody's heard of, like, you know, the Bigfoot casts and, you know, pictures and stuff like that. But what you had for paranormal? So,
yeah, so it's a little bit everything. So, yeah, we have a Confederate soldier. Actually, I can show you some of that stuff here. But that's just going to help on your podcast, but I'll show you later. Yeah. But we've actually gone out there, and we've had a lot of Confederate and Revolutionary. Actually, the house that I live in used to be the museum. It's right on the old Stagecoach Road coming out of Halifax. And Persons Ordinary is right around the corner. That was licensed by King George II, 1739. And we used to ghost hunt there, too. We're trying to get back into that place. That's run by the Women's Club. But it's a lot of cool history there. But, you know, so we're trying to take advantage of things and bring people to town. And, you know, and we share the wealth. When we bring something in, it's good for everybody. Everybody gets a little piece of the pie, helps everyone, you know, do maintenance on their buildings and stuff like that, or pay taxes, whatever they need to do with it. But, yeah, it's just, you know, like I said, I was very surprised to move there and realize we were on a fault line, so we have artesian wells. Even the house that I live in now, which used to be the museum, too, in the front, has an underground stream in the basement, a hidden room in the second floor. It's a big old three-story house. We were told it was a bordello at one point, a whorehouse, basically. And so the house was spun. It used to face the old Stagecoach Road, and that was spun in 1895 to face Mosby Avenue. We don't have the exact date on the house. We know 1850s it was there. We have maps showing that. And the timbers in this thing are huge. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's peg work. It's crazy. But this, you know, this house goes back before there was electric, before there was plumbing inside, and the kitchen would have been out back. I mean, and out behind that there's a carriage house too. And then we have about just a little shy of 2 acres of property in the back. Part of it's wooded. So I mean, coming from Long Island, it's like a little postage stamp piece of property. It was like, you know, I'm getting all this for $52,000. What are you kidding me? So, and the house needs work. I mean, that's one of the reasons we got it. We had to put a roof on it. The heating system died. But you know, that's the growing pains of salvaging an old building. So. So now we're doing that with the museum, too. So now I get two projects going.
So besides Bigfoot, what other cryptids and stuff have you had down in North Carolina?
We do a lot. Actually, I just got back. I'm going to get the date wrong. I think it's not last week, the week before. I was up in Brown Mountains doing a little video and investigation on the Brown Mountain lights. Had no luck. It's funny, just yesterday, a guy sent me an email. I ran into this gentleman that was there on the lookout point with me, and he's actually just a photographer, and he was out there to try to get shots of the stars moving through. And he sent me a picture and video. He goes, look, I think I got one of the lights and the time exposures on the mountain. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I got to talk back to him, but I didn't get anything. I brought thermal cameras. I was curious, did these things give off heat? While we were there, there was a family that pulled up, and they get out of the car and they're going, look, I'm seeing them. I'm walking over there, and then so is his photographer, and we're looking, I'm looking at him, said, do you see it? And he goes, no. I said, my eyes are too old. What the heck? They're going, look, you can see it looks like a lantern, someone carrying a lantern going up the side of the hill. And I'm looking, I just for the life of me couldn't see it. And I had this camera that I'm actually using now actually has night vision, night shot at one of the older Sonys. And I couldn't see anything with that. I didn't see anything with the thermal cameras. I don't know, I was hoping to see some quite clear lights or something, but I'll try to go back again. And that area is known for Bigfoot sightings. The problem I did there, once again, I'm famous for not doing my research enough. I called up there to get a hotel, and it was hard to get a hotel. So I was like, well, that's weird. Well, it's the changing of the leaves. Everyone was going up to see the leaves change. I wasn't thinking of that. So now if I go up there, and even if like I go back to Littleton, we've already got some investigations going on back at Medoc Mountain next week. So I got to get back for that, too. But, yeah, there's all these things going on. I love North Carolina. I love all these states down here. But North Carolina's got a lot of stuff. I mean, I don't think it quite has quite as much as West Virginia does. I mean, that seems to be the central. But we have so many different places we're exploring. And plus, we're going to go to other states, of course. I mean, we're right on the Virginia border, so literally 7 miles off the border, right below Lake Gaston there. So.
So what is your YouTube channel?
Right now it's just under my name, Stephen Barcello, and that's Barcello, one L. Stephen, Stephen. And you just go on, please subscribe. We have over 500 videos up there. I've got a lot of stuff going on, but you're gonna see a lot more now since we're finally getting back out. Now you're going to see somewhere I'm just bitching about being a commissioner. it's like, this really sucks. But anyway, so now I'm going to be able to get more better content up. Like even here, I'm running around and just doing some interviews and talking to people. And then when I leave tomorrow, my plan is to try to find a location since I've got a, 600-mile trip home. I don't have to go home the next day. If I can find a place along the way and grab another story, I'll do that too. But it's things like that I love to do. I mean, of course, now the weather's a little bit chilly, but whatever I can get if I can grab something. We've been up to Cherokee. Like I said, we've been over another famous one where I went over to do a UFO story down on the coast. Once again, didn't do my research, didn't check the weather. I get down there, and there was reports of lights like the week before. People seen lights up over the ocean. And I get out there, I get this hotel. Still during, you know, the pandemic scare, so the hotels are pretty empty. I get a fifth or sixth floor room. I think it was a sixth floor room. And I get up there, and I can look out to the bay, or the ocean, I should say. I can only see out so far because of this haze coming in. Well, day two, it was even worse. From the beach, you couldn't even see my balcony. So I was like, so much for seeing this. So it was funny. I was going live, and one of the guys reached out to me, who's another podcaster down there, and he said, we'll come over. We'll tell you the stories of the hermit that lived at the beach and all this other stuff. So picked up a case of beer. They popped over. We ended up doing a kind of a sit-down, sort of like we're doing here, out of the hotel room. So at least I kind of saved the day, but, you know, that's kind of the thing I need to do is spend more time doing my research. But you know, no matter what, that's the way. You have to be fluid. You never know what you're going to pick up, who you're going to be interviewing, or which way the story's going. I mean, you know, things flip.
You never know when you plan things out and they never go as you plan anyway, so it's better to be flexible.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Even here, I brought down the camera, and I forgot to bring my I brought a wireless mic. I didn't bring AA batteries, and I was at Walmart the other day. I didn't think to grab them, and I forgot to bring a lanyard mic. So thank God this thing's pretty good with the shotgun mic on it, but it's like, but it kind of limits you, especially in a noisy room like this, as you know. So. But if guys get a chance, come on by, see, you know, Littleton, North Carolina. It's a great little town, a lot of great food, great little places. I started, when I first lived there 10 years ago, we didn't even have a bar. Now we have three. So Bigfoot brings bars in. The brewery's not open yet, but that's under construction. They should be, by next year, the brewery should be in full operation. They're supposed to have Tex-Mex food, too. So we're all excited about that. But come on by the museum, support. Yeah, we appreciate it. And at minimum, just check out our YouTube channel and let us know what you think.
Very cool. Do you have a website, too? Or?
Yeah, I've got it on the card. God forbid I can remember it off the top of my head. Crypto-para.org. So, and then of course Facebook, which is Crypto Para. That's where I'm more updated on there, and of course the YouTube channel, which, you know, just Stephen Borsello. And I have an Instagram, and I, for the life of me, don't know what that is. That's my intern set all that stuff up. I was just actually, we were on Twitch and Discord too, and I just, you know, I'm kind of like maxed out at this point. I was just asking the guys over at the MetaZoo table, can you help me? My Discord's all messed up. You know? So I don't know. I think one of my interns opened up another Discord account for the Cryptozoology Museum, not in my name, but use the same email or phone number. So I think it's pinging is like, I guess, yeah, I don't know. I guess you can't share phone. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is.
I don't know.
I didn't do it.
I have Discord, but I don't use it very often. So, yeah. I don't know.
So it's funny. Most of them I have no issue. It's just the MetaZoo one's the one. I guess they have a higher security setting, making sure. And it's just, I can read. I just can't talk on it or react, you know. But I can go into the personnel part and talk direct to Mike or someone else. That's no issue. It's just the weirdest thing. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, beyond me. Beyond
technology.
Me. I know.
Who needs it?
I'm an old guy. What do you expect?
Awesome. Well, it's been super nice talking to you, and we'll have to come out. I know we're going to be in South Carolina, like I told you.
Yep.
We'll be there in March, and if we got some time, I'd love to come by. And do you guys, on the website and stuff, you said you did, like, Bigfoot tours and stuff like that, the paranormal? Is that all on there?
Yep. Go onto the Facebook page for that, or call us at 631-220-1231, and we can set things up because we do them periodically. We have to obviously rent campsites there because the only way you can stay in the camp overnight is claim you're camping, and you know, most of the time we don't even bother to set up tents, but it's more of a parking spot. But just as long as the state's getting their money, they're happy. And so we do is we meet there, we try to get everyone out for at least a daytime hike. That's when you look for tree structures, you're looking for prints or anything like that, hair, whatever you can find. We all have enough thermal scopes for everyone to have them. We can lend some thermal scopes and parabolic dishes out, so there is some stuff out there for people to use. Same thing with the ghost hunting. We bring out ghost hunting. We have, you know, a bunch of equipment. We usually have enough K2s for pretty much everyone to have a K2, but there's other equipment we use. So people can come out and actually, the stuff they've seen on TV or want to do, they can actually do. And they can actually, you know, touch this equipment and actually do things. So. Yeah, but feel free to write to us, text me. That's my cell phone. And let me know what you guys are interested in. I'm retired again now. Stepping down from politics, so now I can spend full time working on the museum and taking care of things like that.
That's awesome. I know I definitely will be in touch with you when we get down there, and hopefully all of our listeners that if you're in the area or plan to go through the area can come check it out and maybe go out ghost hunting or Bigfooting with you.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much for letting me talk on your podcast.
Oh, definitely. Thanks for being here, man.
No problem. Thank you.
Right, talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's Wisconsin, CAPS.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.